quick. Turn up the sound.
You've discovered TalkZone.com, the best in internet talk radio. Let's get back to Barely Legal. Once again, here's Robin Earl and David Spada.
Okay. Whoa, man. It gets me goosebumps, man, talking some hockey with a legendary coach and player, Al Arbor. My goodness gracious. David, you still out there in the cell 3G area?
Still out there. He didn't seem like he was that big a fan of old man work. Still works there.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, this guy played on so many teams, and plus he was a great Hall of Fame coach, too.
You don't think he would have loved to coach in Chicago, being that he played in the Midwest, he played for Detroit, he played for the Hawks here? I mean, what was wrong with work? You bring a guy like that in the early 90s rather than these retreads, like bringing Bob Fulford back every couple of years, or some of these other guys they had who had no business coaching.
Bob Fulford, the organization, you know. What a guy. That guy must have smoked three packs a day to have a voice like that. What do you think?
Oh, exactly. And then, you know what? He knew exactly what to do. He knew if he basically took work sign, he'd be out of a job. So he kept his mouth shut and collected his paycheck.
Hey, I just want to, while we got a couple seconds here, as we're waiting for our next guest here, Pierre Palat. Now, here's a guy that played his full career. You know, he actually played 20 years professionally. The first six, obviously, was back in the AHL. Was that kind of like the warm-up league?
I have no idea. Yeah. My hockey knowledge was very limited because I didn't watch it. It wasn't on TV.
Yeah, Buffalo Bison and so forth and so on. But anyway, I think I told you, we spoke a few times on Monday. I was out at Briarwood Country Club helping out Ron Kittle and his group out there for the raise money for cancer research. Hey, David, Monday, it was absolute paradise. 75, not a cloud in the sky, slight breeze. And I tell you, we had a really, really good time. Ronnie paired me up with his high school buddies. Okay, all the guys.
It'd be interesting.
Oh, it was a blast. I got so much dirt on Kittle now. He'll never live up with it, man.
Because he grew up in what, Gary?
Yeah, grew up in Gary. All these guys went to a high school in Gary there. It's Gary something high school. And of course, that place has changed drastically in the last 25 years or so. But I just want to give a shout out to the guys I played with. Joe Benjamin. He's in the electrical industrial business out in Rockford, Illinois. And, I've got pictures that I took and I posted them, and I've never seen a guy with the bigger calves, David. This guy, had monster. I thought I had big calves, but this guy dwarfed me. And then we had, good old number 81, believe it or not. That was his number in college. His name was Dave Peterson, is now a CPA for a large firm. Okay. We called him Petey. And our host for that day was Larry Wood. And we also had Larry Bennell. I hope I pronounced that right. B-E-N-N-E-L-L, Bennell. He's a corporate pilot, David, for CentOS. You know, the uniform people, the industrial mats on the floor and so forth.
Right.
Imagine you're familiar with it. Great guy. And another gentleman that has moved down to the Show Me State out in Missouri, Brian Crawford. And we ended up 10 under. Very respectable, ended up in third place. In fact, we had all four of the par three. We had our names on them at one point or another, each of us, all the different players. So that just tells you we had a pretty good team. And problem was, the first nine holes were only three under, but then we birdied the last six to come in at 10 under. So we had a great, great time. Anyway, hey, we're talking hockey today. This is hockey heaven in Chicago. And of course, I want to bring on our next guest, Pierre Palat. Played a long time. I've got him at 20 years, but 13 years with the Blackhawks, defensive man. Just brought it every time he came out and played. How you doing, Pierre?
Very good, Robin. I hear you talking about golf, and man, this is what I love doing now.
Well, you know what? When I pick guys that I want to play golf with at these celebrity pro-ams and so forth, you know who I go to?
Stan Mikita? I
go to the hockey players.
Is that right?
You know?
Well, that's great. That's great. Well, you know, it's, we do a lot of charity. Obviously, you do too. I heard you saying you shot, what, 13 under? Or
well,
what?
We were 10 under. 13 uh-huh. won it. 13 under won it. We ended up in third place. But it sure is fun to get up into the tee box, and you get three pretty good balls out there about, you know, almost close to 300 in the middle, and you go, oh, pressure's off.
All you have to do is to make sure you have a good shot on the green and you're able to putt, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they say. You got to have a lot of hanging time, you know, when they hit that ball, some of these guys.
Are you, I'm looking at your phone number here. What part of Canada?
Well, you know, if you look at the, in Toronto.
Okay.
Okay, I'm approximately due north, just say about an hour and a half. Say, you know, about 80 miles or 80 kilometers, they call them here.
Sure.
Well, looking directly north, say, you know, it might be a little bit, maybe 5 or 6 miles west. But anyway, looking at Toronto, about an hour and a half, you know, 90 miles from there.
Gotcha. So your weather is obviously in good shape now and out there hitting the ball a little bit.
Yeah, well, I was out Monday, you know, and I didn't do too bad. It was I did the three charity and before that, but that was the first time I played my own ball. Like, you know, it's a little different.
But I'll guarantee you, I bet you shoot your age, though, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I wish I was younger, though. I'd shoot better, you know?
Sure, yeah. Sure.
Hey, anyway.
Yeah, I got you here. I see you're 78 years old.
Right.
Okay, born December 11th. You know, you can't escape the Internet, Pierre.
Well, you know what? It's been great. I mean, I get on, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, well, you can't escape nothing, but it's not how old you are, it's how you feel.
Damn
and how
right.
You are, really.
Yeah. Yeah, it said you were 5'10", you played at 178 pounds. You're pretty close to that weight now?
I would say I'm a little less than that. I've been watching my weight, lost a little
for
bit
you.
Of muscle. I'm about 172, 73, you know what I mean? Just kind of stay there. You know, when you're playing, you know, you're. I didn't have any fat on me. We never exercise these days, like, you know, get on the gym and
sure.
kind of work out and put on an extra 15, 20 pounds. We were not into that, you know. But I was, you know, there was guys that were 200 pounds, but I think they were carrying an extra 10, 12 pounds. But
right.
If I wasn't carrying any extra weight, I mean, if I got up to 180, 182, that was not my way. I would weigh in before the game about 178.
Mm-hmm.
After, you know, I lose 2-3 pounds. That's all I would lose.
That was it, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
My partner, Vasco, he was 220, 225.
That was big back then.
And guess what? He'd get on the scale, and after, he'd lose about 8-10 pounds.
No question. You know, that reminds me of my training camp days, you know, 10 of them professionally.
Yeah.
And you know, you'd have those 9,500 degree days, and you know, I weighed before practice right around 245.
Yeah.
And there were several times I'd come back under 230.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
now and then you have two practices, so you have to suck as many liquids as possible, so you're not cramping up.
I know.
And then about 3 hours later, you're right back on the field, and again. Weighing about 230, lose another 12.
Yeah.
So when you talk about the fluctuation of a full day, that's 25 pounds of sweat, you know?
But that's why you got to keep drinking. You know, it's funny. The training method in my day was not what it is nowadays, you know? The guys are drinking all the time. I would wait till my last 2-3 shift to have a little sip of water.
Oh, man.
I just take it all. I guess we didn't know these days. You know, we only had one trainer and one coach, you know. So, but I'll tell you, they trained a lot different than we did in my days.
Wow. You know, I'm noticing here, three-time recipient of the Norris Trophy for the Outstanding Defensive Men, 63, 64, and 65. And then you were runner-up three times. So, that's six seasons that you were either one or two. That's outstanding.
That's right. Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Is that pretty good? Gee whiz.
I got my old buddy, Fergie Jenkins. You know him, don't you?
Sure. We've had him on the show a couple of times.
Yeah, he's got the Cy Young Award, eh?
Yeah.
I keep kidding him. I said, well, that was for the best pitcher of the year, wasn't it, Fergie? He said, yeah. And I said, well, me was the best defense of the year. And I said, how many times you win it? Then he looked at me and said, Pierre, you're going somewhere. What are you talking about? I had to cancel. He had a charity last Friday in his, not in his hometown, but in St. Catherine. He's had a great charity. And he had some of his sponsor there. And I had to cancel because, you know, these playoffs, you know, they're really, I had to go to Toronto and I had to do an interview there. He's a great guy. Anyway, let's talk about the Hawks.
Let's get to the Hawks. You know, we had Al Arbor on just before you because we're all about hockey today.
Right.
And you were a teammate of Al's, right, back in the 61 championship.
Yeah, he was there.
Okay, now you're both defensive men. Were you on the ice on the same line or different lines?
Al played. I played with I had a partner for about 7-8 years. His name was Elmer Vasco, number 4. They used to call him the Moose.
The Moose.
And Al Arbor played with Jack Evans. And we had a fifth defenseman was Dollar St. Laurent. We had gotten him from Montreal. He had been in 4 Stanley Cup. And do you know something? Having him around gave us that feeling, you know, that it's important to win the Stanley Cup. He had that, you know, you need somebody on the club to get you going. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, we talked about that. I mean, you know, he played on 4. He coached 4 Stanley Cups, total of 8.
Yeah.
And it's hard enough to get to the damn finals.
That's right.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So you got, give us, you know, let's go back 61 there.
Yeah.
What stands out most in your mind about winning that cup?
Well, you know, like we had a club that was starting to build. Like we had almost the same thing that's happening now with the Hawks. We had we had a great goaltender.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we only had one, Glenn Hall.
Glenn Hall.
Mm-hmm. He was playing very well. He had been there a couple years, you know, 3 years, I think. Let's see, came in 55, 56, whatever. And then our defense was pretty good. Then we had the young Bobby Hall and Stan Mikita.
The Jet.
Right. And then myself, like, you know. And, you know, we can compare, say, Duncan Keefe and Jonathan and maybe mm-hmm. Duncan Keefe, you know what I mean? And
sure.
Jonathan. And but at that time of Bobby and Stan, they were not in the what you call the high scorer. You know what I mean? Very offensive-minded.
Okay.
Really, our club was more a kind of partly defensive and partly offensive, and that's how you win the final games. And then as we went, next 3 or 4 or 5 years, then all of a sudden our club became more offensive when Bobby starts scoring 50 goals, and we start to be playing more offensive. And guess what? We were never able to win another cup because in the playoff, you have to play both. You know, you got to play
both. Got to play both.
And defensive. And we kind of had to change once we got into the playoff. Like, you know, and it was not our style.
Mm.
We had a young club, and we all pulled together. It's just amazing. And, you know, cover up for one another, playing the system. And we just... And you need Luddy Luck, you know.
Darn right you do. Who was the coach?
Rudy Pillis,
okay.
So it's me in Junior A. It's amazing, you know, that most of the, Bobby, Stan, myself, Vasco, Cisla, a lot of these guys played in St. Catharines for Rudy Pillis.
Mm, gotcha.
Junior hockey players.
What, you know, you go through your career and so forth, and, you're very fortunate to play most of your, well, in fact, all your career with the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
Right? And you had some, I was just looking at this now. In 1951, how old were you?
51. I was, born 31, 51.
Okay, so you're 20.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you came in with the St. Catharines TPs.
Thompson product used to be called, and they call them TPs.
What a name.
Yeah. Well,
what the hell is that?
No, I'll tell you what. The reason they call it was a big factory that made auto parts, and they were from Cleveland. And they had a factory down in St. Catharines, and they were the main sponsor.
Oh, okay.
The logo was a T, like TP.
Okay.
And what the, Thompson product was.
Ah.
So what they did, they put TP, but they had like a TP logo.
Okay, so it's not toilet paper.
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay, all right.
That's good. I never thought of that one.
Yeah, okay.
Sometimes we had to use that the way we played, eh?
Yeah, the OHA, what was that? What does that stand for?
That's Ontario Hockey
Association.
Like
okay. And then you went another 5 years with the Buffalo Bison with
That's
the
right.
AHL. Now, what? It was that the another league or a minor league or what?
It was a minor league. What happened with me, you know, like I was 13 years old.
Uh-huh.
We moved from the Quebec province. My dad moved the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't speak English at all. And I never played organized hockey till I got there, and there was no rink, and it was a little warmer weather. So really, I never played organized hockey till I was 16.
Hmm.
See? And
which is really in Canada that's like an old man just
that's
starting.
Right.
Yeah.
You know why? Because when I in the province of Quebec at that time they didn't have any minor league organization.
Mm-hmm.
But in Fort Erie they were starting to. But anyway, I started playing like with Industrial League, and all of a sudden I moved to Junior B. Mm-hmm. But I was never probably, let's put it this way, I had the ability, the coordination. I played a lot of baseball, you know,
okay,
when I was
sure.
young.
Yeah.
And then I picked up hockey, but it took me a little while to really learn the game, you know. So that's why I was in the minor league for about 4.5 years. But it seemed like every step I had a moment, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In junior, my first year of junior hockey, you know, I was just a rough, tough type of kid. And the next, my last year in junior, I was got picked first all-star. Then I moved up to the American League, and man, it was quite different because now all of a sudden you're playing against men that are pretty smart, eh?
Yeah.
You're only 20, 21.
The big boys.
Big boys. And they had played in the NHL. Some of them had gotten hurt, but, you know, they were still very, very smart. But it took me, I remember the moment when all of a sudden, hey, this game, this is the way it is. You know what I mean? And I start somehow playing with a lot of confidence. Then I made the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah.
And then it took me about a year and a year and a half. And, you know, I just got a little better. You know, I just brought myself up to above the standard. And my, the way I did it, Rob, was I looked at other players. And I copy. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like I'm looking at a great player, and how's he doing this?
How's he doing it?
But you know what? I'm doing it, but I'm doing it a little different. But it's my trick now.
But it's your deal.
That's my deal.
That's your deal.
We learn, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, we're talking with Pierre Palat, former Blackhawk. This is the Barely Legal Show on TalkZone.com. I got to get that in here once in a while, Pierre.
Yeah.
888-463-6748. You know, we stream live worldwide on the web. So,
right.
It's internet radio. We get a lot of exposure worldwide. So, do you have a computer at home?
Yes.
Good, good. So you can just, in about an hour or two, just log into www.talkzone.com and,
right.
And then look for the banner of the Barely Legal Show and then I'm sure that our producer, Dave Olson, he's a great guy. We've been working together almost 2 years now, and he'll probably have your picture up there and a little of your stats and so forth. And then you just click on there and listen to yourself. But here's what I was going to say. You sound so much. I mean, I've never met you, but your voice is identical to a guy by the name of Moose Scourin.
Is that right?
Do you know Moose?
Well, not really, but I know the name, you know.
Yeah, yeah, you know, he's got 6 World Series rings on his fingers.
Wow.
6.
Yeah.
What a great guy. You know, a South Sider.
Yeah.
He loves to play golf.
I could never hit these guys. I played baseball. I had a hard time with South Siders, you know.
Yeah, of course, of course. But really one of the great ambassadors of the game. And, you know, he's on Reinsdorf's payroll there with the White Sox.
Yeah.
So, you know, what a life, huh?
Yeah.
I'm thinking Moose has got to be early 80s right now.
Is he?
Yeah. And he's just active as they come. And I'm gonna pimp on him a little bit here. This is a couple years ago. I'm sitting having some lunch with a group of people at a restaurant down in the city there. And all of a sudden, a car pulls up right in front. And I'm going, what the hell's going on? All of a sudden, this guy jumps out, walks into the restaurant, and I could tell that he had one thing on his mind, Pierre. You know what it was?
I don't know.
Where the hell's the men's room?
What is he getting?
He was like, and I go,
it happens.
I go, Moose, is that you? He goes,
yeah.
Oh, hey, Robin. He goes, where the hell's the bathroom?
Yeah. Well, that's what happened, unless you take Flomax.
Yeah, it takes Flomax. Oh, my goodness. Hey, it says here also you were team captain for a while with
for
the Hawks. Eight seasons.
Yeah,
wow.
I think I'm the longest captain so far. I'm not too sure.
Wow! So that's you got to wear that C on your jacket or on your sweater for eight seasons.
Yeah,
that's fantastic, man. I love talking with you guys, man. I'm 55, but I feel 35. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, we same language. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. You know.
It is.
Yeah, and it looks like you enjoy what you do. You get out, you get to hit the ball, and I'm sure you're retired and just having fun and enjoying life. Grandkids?
Yeah, we got 10 of them, you know. I had a family of four, two boys, two girls. We had two of them. The last two were born in Chicago. And they're doing well. One, my oldest girl runs an office at a dental office. And mm-hmm. the next one, he's got a little business. And the other girl is a special nurse. And the youngest boy is an engineer at the Ontario Science Center.
Oh, beautiful,
yeah.
man.
And
beautiful.
I got two grandchildren.
Wow.
Yeah, six boys and four girls.
Fantastic. You know, when it all boils down, the only thing that's really important in life is the family. When it really boils, when it gets down to the nitty gritty and the white knuckle time, as
you're
we
right.
say it,
right.
it's
you're
the
right.
family that you have to look after. Anyway, Pierre, what a blast, man. Enjoyed having you on. We're up against the clock here a little bit, but, I tell you what, I know you're going to be ready at 8 o'clock, East Coast time. We drop that puck. I know I will be.
Well, I'm flying out tomorrow, I'll tell you. We're coming into Chicago tomorrow.
Okay.
And
hopefully for the parade.
I hope it's that if it's not for the parade, then we'll be there for
game seven. There you go.
Then the parade. But anyway, we're there till Monday to make sure. And we're going to try and have a blast. And thanks for having me, Rob.
Hey, appreciate it. Appreciate you taking the time.
Stay healthy, though.
All right, buddy. Hit him straight.
Hit him. Don't have to hit him far. Straight.
Just straight. That's right.
Okay.
Keep him in the short stuff. Talk to you soon. Okay. All right. That was Pierre Plott. What a great voice. Has the exact same voice as Moose Skowron. But let's get right on to NFL football here a little bit. You know, you can't escape on the Barely Legal Show about NFL football, man. Anyway, we got former place kicker Mike Hollis on the phone here, Mike, and I see that you and my brother share the same birthday, May 22nd. How about that?
Oh, very good, very good. That's
yeah.
awesome. That's a great day.
Well, except you're about 20 years younger.
that was my next question.
We also have another connection. My father played at the University of Idaho. How about that
no
one, huh?
Way.
Yeah,
interesting. Wow.
Yeah, he was a Vandal, and in fact, I was born in Boise, Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
And we migrated out to Seattle when I was 4 years old, and my folks still live in the same house that I grew up in and so forth. And I see you spent a little time in Spokane, right?
That's where my hometown is. I was actually born in Kellogg, Idaho,
uh-huh.
and moved over to Spokane when I was about two, and went through all of high school and grew up basically in Spokane. And we still have a little place in Post Falls in Idaho on the river there, right between Coeur d'Alene and Spokane.
Oh, yeah.
So we go back
oh, yeah.
in the summer times to enjoy the
yeah.
summer out in the Northwest.
You know, yeah, Coeur d'Alene, I remember when I was in Boy Scouts in 1967, National Jamboree? Might have been 69. When did he land on the moon, when Armstrong stepped on the moon? That was 69, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. Let's see, 60. Well, you weren't even born yet, for crying out loud. But I'll never forget it, Mike. You know, I was an Eagle Scout, and so was my brother. So we went to the National Jamboree. We had a contingency from Seattle, And we bussed out there and we had a blast. You know how they stay, you know, it's 10 days and, you know, we're in tents and, we just do, it's really, really a lot of fun, you know, scouts from around the world. And I'll never forget, they kind of, they had a, this huge, screen, that actually in black and white showed live that, the pictures of the moon landing with Neil Armstrong. I thought that was kind of cool.
Wow.
I thought that was kind of cool. So anyway, you kick for the Vandals and then you get drafted, I see here, with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, I actually was in San Diego with the Chargers in 94 as a rookie free agent. And then because I never got drafted, you know, coming from Idaho, okay. little school,
sure.
One AA school of Idaho. But anyways, yeah, I spent the training camp with the Chargers in 94 and then was able to get on with the Jaguars in 95 in their inaugural season.
Sure. What was the break? What do you think was your break that you got, the you know, to catch on with the Jags and stick?
Well, the biggest thing was for me to convince Tom Coughlin that I was
tough guy to convince.
I know, but here's a long story short. He actually thought I was too short. They were going to pass on me. They liked my film. They thought I was a good kicker, you know, coming out of, you know, Idaho and even, with the Chargers. And they said, well, the head coach thinks you're too short. We're going to go a different direction. And so I've got a guy's actually my business partner right now in my kicking academy, but he was my coach when I was a kid and he's still obviously with me, but, he was the one that called up the Jaguars and said, you guys are crazy. I have no idea what you're saying. You got to give this guy a chance. And so eventually I had two workouts for the Jaguars. One, in Washington and in Tri-Cities area,
okay.
And then one in Jacksonville, and they wanted to fly me in because Tom wanted to see me kick. You know, he couldn't believe this little, you know, 5'7", 180-pound kid can kick a ball so far.
Mm-hmm.
And my break basically was during my training camp in 95, I knew that there was an opportunity for me to kick in the NFL, and I knew that this was my biggest chance. Not to say that Scott Sisson wasn't a great kicker, because he was my competitor. They,
sure.
They picked him up. He thought they, you know, they figured that he would be the guy because he was the veteran and that's the guy they were going to go with. But I think I slowly kind of convinced them that I was, just a little bit more accurate, a little bit more stronger on kickoffs. I wasn't killing him by any means. He's a great guy. I love the guy to death and I'm still friends with him today, but you know, just a matter of just being consistent. And, you know, my first year with the Jaguars wasn't great. I was thinking,
was that the expansion year, 95?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. That
okay.
was the inaugural season.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And of course, you had Burnell, former Husky.
Absolutely. Yeah. Uh-huh. We had, Steve Berline as our quarterback and a couple games into the season, he got hurt and Burnell stepped in and the rest is history.
Yeah. I went to Washington, see, so I'm kind of biased toward my Husky quarterbacks. You know, there's quite a slew of them. Of course, Warren Moon was my quarterback.
Oh, wow.
He was a year younger
and
I always tell the story. He comes in the weight room. We had no idea who he was and he just kind of got in. I was a fullback, you know, one of those 6'5", 255 pound bruisers. And, you know, we're sitting there in the bench press and, you know, he says, hey, can I join you? And I'm looking at him and he says, yeah, I'm Warren Moon. I didn't know who he was. I'm a quarterback. I said, you want me to take some of the plates off here to, you know, he goes, oh no, you can keep it right through 315. So I spot him and he pumps it about 10 times. I set the bar back on the rack and I go, we got ourselves a quarterback. If nothing else, he's a strong one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So you got, okay, so Coughlin was your coach. He was a tough nut, boy. You know? Those, of course, you're a kicker, though. You didn't have to go through the training camps like, you know, I mean, you know, you guys took all the brunt of the jokes, you know, get your pink skirt out there, all that good stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, it wasn't so bad. Brian Barker was our punter, and he'd been around a long time, and we were a new team with a lot of young guys, so Brian kind of set the stage real early with regards to kind of respecting the kickers, and we weren't weird. We weren't like off to ourselves.
Bunch
we
of weasels.
Normal. Yeah, we were pretty normal guys, and I've always kind of prided myself in being an athlete, being normal, being part of the team. You know, picking on the other guys as they pick on us, just kind of going with the flow, and we kind of fit in really well with that. So I think we had a little bit to do with that as well.
In 97, you made the Pro Bowl. Was that the season that you should have beaten the New England Patriots in the playoffs?
That was, yes, I believe so. It wasn't 96 in the AFC Championship game, if that's what you're referring
to. Oh, yeah, that was 96 when you guys went out there. You guys went out there and just put a thumping on John Elway.
That's the year.
I'll never forget watching that game. Brunell was going nuts. He wasn't exactly throwing the ball. He was just running wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I reminded that to John Elway. I saw him in Coeur d'Alene at Arrow Point and on the lake there. It was a resort up there, and he's got a place up there, and every once in a while you'll see him in there. And I kind of reintroduced myself, and I told him who I was. Ah, yeah, you're the guy that beat us in the playoff game. It was the first thing he said to me. That's great.
That's super. Hey, what now? You get your looks like 7 seasons with Jacksonville, then you go, you catch on with a year with Buffalo, then of course you finish up with the Giants. What have you been doing, say, the last several years?
The last couple of years, it's almost 2.5 now, I've been running a kicking academy here in Jacksonville.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah, and so I'm basically passing on all the information that I learned as a kid. And like I said, my business partner, Coach Gaetano, was the guy's name, and he's with me here with this academy, and we're coaching kids. We've got a lot of NFL guys we've worked with, and a lot of high school kids we're working with as well. And one of the things that differentiates us from a lot of other coaches out there, there's a lot of guys out there that think they know what they're talking about with kicking. And
I can't tell
you as many times as the guys that come in who worked with other guys that come in and say, well, yeah, they taught me this and they taught me that. And I'm just shaking my head like, no, that is not the right way to kick. And I'll be the first one to tell you, and I'll be very blunt with you, I think that we have the best way of kicking a football, the most efficient. Remember, I'm 5'7", 180 pounds. I did kick a 59-yard field goal in a game in preseason against the Rams, and I'm not supposed to be able to do that, and I did, you know. So
wow.
I know that I've got the most efficient form, and we've got the most efficient way of kicking a football, and we're passing that information on to whoever wants it.
So it's strictly kicking, no punting?
No, kicking and punting.
Oh,
yeah,
punting,
we do
a
little bit of snapping.
Gotcha.
Not a whole lot of snapping, but
yeah,
a little bit.
You know, when you're in high school, you know, you got to do it all. I kick, punt, ran the ball, threw the ball, played middle linebacker, you know, you just strap it up and go. But, you know, I actually had a few punts when our punter, Bob Parsons, played 13 years with the Bears. And one time he hurt his wrist against Cleveland. I had to go in, you know, which is okay. You know, I was the backup punter, and it was something fun that I enjoyed doing. I punted in college also, so. But the only problem was that I like to spat up, you know. I like to spat.
You can't point your toe.
Yeah, I know. You can't point the damn toe. So during warm-ups, I'd spat my left shoe, and then go out and warm up and do all the thing. And then, of course, come in at the after warm-ups and then spat up on the right side. You know, hell, I was starting at either fullback or tight end. I had to look good. You know what I mean? Oh, that's great. You know, going back to your camps, you know, I direct 4 weeks of the Chicago Bear Youth Camps. Of course, we have like over 100 kids, and they're all different positions. I run stations because, you know, that's kind of a warm-up to it's strictly, you know, shorts and tennis shoes. And these, and I, you know, we take kids as little as 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're trying to get them started on the right foot. Just trying to get them in a 3-point stance is a challenge. Takes about all one day. You know, digs all day. Okay, 3-point stance. Here we go. You know, but you're right about the fact that you know, you get people that think they know what they're doing. And my two best coaches that I have on my staff are my two sons, and they're both quarterbacks. I have a son who went to Illinois State. Wasn't getting a lot of playing time, so we transferred him to Benedict University. It's a local D3 school here in the Chicago area.
I've done a camp there before.
Have you? Yeah, it's a nice facility, and
beautiful.
You know, he's got a great shot of starting, and at least he wants to play. And then his little brother, Kevin, who is a junior, be a senior, is being recruited very highly with all the majors here in the Midwest. So we're real excited about Kevin, another quarterback. He's 6'6", goes about 210, but oh, he's got the frame. He's ready. You know, he's that Tom Brady look. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what we're doing right now, he's got a lot of camps. He just got back from Giant Stadium over the weekend. He had that ESPN showcase. He made the finals, did not make the top 7, what they call the Dream Makers team that goes out to Maui. So you know what? But it was good exposure.
Yeah,
exposure.
Absolutely.
work with the best. You know, you get a chance to have, you know, the scouting combines are out there, you know, the scout.com, you mm-hmm. know, Edgy Tim, the guy that Tom Lemmy that was on the Blind Side movie. I don't know if you saw that or not.
Yep.
With Michael Orr. Mm-hmm. But I you know, he throws a big dinner for the top football players in Chicago, and I said, hey, you're a movie star now, buddy, you know. But yeah, you're right though. You know, you just gotta, you know, these, you know, the kids are so specialized now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and I try to, you know, when you work with these kids, man, I just, you know, you played the game, you were a pro. I was a pro. I can coach fullbacks and tight ends, but keep me away from the quarterback position. That I can't do. I let my boys do that. They're very good at it. They're very, very good at it.
Good.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, that's just terrific, Mike. Hey, thanks for coming on such a short notice.
Okay, no problem.
And I've got your phone number, and I, you know, we'll have to give you a call during football season and get your perspective on a few things. But hey, best of luck with you and your camps, and sounds like you got a good thing going, man.
Well, sounds good. Thanks again, guys. Appreciate
All right, appreciate it, Mike. That was Mike Hollis, former kicker for the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Bills, and the Giants. What a great guy. 38 years old, young guy running an academy out there. And I just, while we got about one minute here, my condolences go out to David Spada's family. I was just, the reason David had to get off was his father-in-law just passed away. And doggone it, that hit me like a ton of bricks when Dave showed me the note. But David, we're with you. I love you, brother. God be willing. You know, just you know, hang in there, man. That's a tough thing to do, to lose someone of that in your family like that. Okay, so with that sad note, you know, we're gonna sign off here. And you know, it's been such a wonderful day with the Blackhawks and so forth. But God be willing. You know, my prayers go out to David Spade and his family. This is the Barely Legal Show. This is Robin Earl and my co-host David Spade. We'll be back next week.